Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of the Beatitudes, we were taught that a very good way to tell if someone is really sorry for his sin is if he wants to make restitution, even though he knows he's already been forgiven. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I remember being at college right after I had graduated from high school. And this was a Christian college. It's not the one I graduated from, but it was a Christian college. It was, at that time, it was a very good Christian college. Now today, that same Christian college has gone away from the book. They've gone away from the ways of righteousness and holiness. And I would really have a hard time sending anybody there. I mean, I don't think I've ever been that mad at anybody to send them to a place like that today. But at that time, it was a good, solid Bible college. But we had one young man, he'd get into trouble. He might be off campus fighting, off campus without permission. I think the same guy one time filled the baptistry of the church with soap bubbles so that when that thing was filled and circulating, there were bubbles everywhere. And it seemed like this guy got caught quite often as well. And usually when there was something really wrong, you said, well, it must have been him. Well, that same guy, it seemed like he walked forward and got saved about five times. Every time he was in trouble, you knew he was going to go forward and get saved. Well, he's trying to escape the consequences. Folks, that is not escaping. That's only delaying. And eventually that guy was removed from college. Now, when a problem is not faced and removed through confession and repentance, then we'll continue as Pharaoh to seek to remove the consequences instead of the sin. And if you're trying to remove the consequences, you're going to find that that sin will keep popping up in your life. Sometimes it has been adultery for people. And they've been truly sorry for it and just felt such a guilt and they felt like dirt for having a relationship with another. But then they're sorry for that feeling. They're sorry for the guilt they feel. They're sorry, especially if it's brought consequences. But many times they're not sorry for the sin and later they're back in sin again, the same kind of sin with only maybe somebody different the next time. But they're back in sin. There must be a genuine sorrow for the sin. Now, the basis of mourning is judging sin in our life. We do that out of regard to God's honor. And there is a genuine sorrow for sin and an ever-seeking desire for Christ. Now, an overwhelming desire to make restitution is usually the way to tell if someone is sorry for their sin or they're just sorry for their consequences. You see, that word restitution, that's the person who, when he, even though he knows he's forgiven, still desires to make it up. For example, Zacchaeus. He knew that he was forgiven. Yet, he stood and said, Lord, I'm going to restore fourfold if I've taken anything from any man, and then I give half my goods to the poor. And so, when he got Christ in his heart, he just wanted to honor Christ and serve Christ all the more. And so, that's what he did. I mean, that's that was the best thing for Zacchaeus to do, was to have this attitude that just says, wait a minute. I want to make restitution. I'm sorry for my sin, and oh, the forgiveness is so great that God has given to me. He realized now that he's not just relieved of a guilty conscience. He's actually been forgiven of a sin that he wants removed from his life. Again, the mourning Christ speaks of is not a mourning of self-pity, of a guilty conscience, or an escape of judgment. It's not a judicial judgment, but a change of the sinner's nature, a change of the heart. Now, Christ said, blessed are those that mourn. But isn't it interesting that the world says quite the opposite of that? Now, we just stated what mourning is not. However, many think it is. Now, on the other hand, the world thinks it knows what is a blessing. But the Beatitudes prove that really the world doesn't know it. Now, millions will call themselves by this precious name of Jesus Christ. And they'll pay some token respect. But the truth is, their eyes are on the world. And the world's way of blessing, not God's. For example, let him choose between God and money. He could be in church, he could be in a good church, serving in the ministry in some way, helping, you know, teaching the Sunday schools, singing in choir, doing youth work, or something other going on. But the person only attends the church. He can't get involved in the ministry because he has a second job, and he needs a second job because he's wanting to maintain a higher standard of living. Now, it's not that he has to live in that nice a house and drive that nice of a car, but he wants to. And so he makes a choice between God and money. And he's trying to serve God and mammon. And God doesn't look at it that way. He just doesn't go along with it. Let a man choose between God and men. He said, well, what do you mean? Well, Proverbs 29:25 tells us that the fear of man bringeth a snare. I was talking with someone recently, and he mentioned to me, he says, you know, he says, I think of 80% commitment instead of 100%, and trying to figure out what he meant. And it's kind of like this. God lays on your heart to witness to a lost soul, to go talk to them about their salvation. But instead of talking to them, you just go up there and exchange pleasantries, and before you leave, say, oh, here, I'd like you to have this, and you give them a salvation tract. Now, it's good to give them a salvation tract. But really, God wanted you to witness personally from your lips. Well, there was an 80% obedience. You might say you went to the person, but really, even though you went to the person and you gave them a gospel tract, you didn't talk to them because the fear of man, and the fear of man brings the snare. We could say, let a man choose between God and personal ambitions. For an example, it's hunting season, and revival meetings are going on in your church. What do you choose? Wednesday night church services. And your child is on Little League, and they want to play on Wednesday night all of a sudden. Which do you choose? You say, well, my son made a commitment to the ball team. Did y'all ever make a commitment to Jesus Christ? If not, why is it better to make a commitment to a ball team than it is to Jesus Christ? And secondly, why not let the ball team know that the commitment to them is secondary? Now, my youngest son played at a Christian college, played football at a Christian college. But when he was in fifth grade and he was playing in the local youth football league, I told his coach, I says, now he wants to play and I'm going to let him play, but I want you to know, Wednesday night, after school. He gets out of school at 3:30, and I let him come practice here till 5 o'clock. But at 5 o'clock, he's leaving because he's got to get cleaned up and go to church. And he said, okay, well, my son played pretty good ball for him, and so he really didn't mind it. He didn't really like it, but he didn't mind it. But we'd made a stand. Before too long, other boys started coming to church. Finally, the coach just canceled the practice on Wednesday. And some say, well, I don't like that. Well, that's up to you. Whatever your personal ambition is, you can either be Jesus Christ and he's first, or it can be your sports or what have you. What's first? I've had people, even people in ministry, missionaries, be in church on a Christmas Eve. It's a Sunday. And they say, well, look, my family tonight, we won't be here because all of our loved ones get together. And this has been a tradition of our family to get together on Christmas Eve. I remember a missionary telling me that. I says, you mean every year you've flown back from the mission field to come here on Christmas Eve? And I didn't tell him that. But that's what went through my mind. So the family was ahead of God. In his case, the family was ahead of God. And others do the same thing. And isn't that interesting? Christmas, we're saying we're celebrating that God Almighty took on flesh so that he might die for our sin. But we're going to put him on the back burner on his birthday. It's about us. It's about our family. Oh, what a shame that is. Let a man choose between God and human love. See, some people have a mate or a child on the throne in their heart. Sometimes when tragedy hits a family, it may be God's allowing a mate or child to be removed from the throne that he should have been occupying all the time in the heart of the Christian. Now, men may protest these statements, but day by day, choices that what we often think of as respectable Christians show, God gets second place every time. I think of Solomon. Solomon knew what it was to be rich, be full, to laugh. Yet he found the world's definition of fullness to be vanity. It is possible to be full, rich, laugh, and be popular, but not see the deceit or the sin involved. In Luke chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, we read this, "But woe to you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did the fathers to the false prophets." This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.